I think we were. I don't know. I wasn't hanging out at every table. Some of you might not have been. I'm not sure, but anyway, that was good. Also, we still have invitations. I don't have one up here. Someone stole mine. Can't believe people would steal things in church, but there's invitations still at the information center, so you can grab those, still invite people, get the word out. And then remember, if you're going, you've got to drive all the way down. Don't turn at the first turn in there at the school, but go down to Fighting Colt Drive, which is the end. Then that takes you right into the parking lot, and it avoids the backup that we get every year. And this year, we're really pushing it. Hopefully, we'll have a police officer out there, and you won't be able to do that. But some of you I know don't care. You'll run over a cop, and you'll get in there anyway. So, as you tell him about Jesus. But so anyway, make sure you do that. And then with something else I was going to say tonight, but oh well, slipped my mind. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your grace tonight. We thank you for just the opportunity, Lord, to open up your word. And I do pray, God, that as we look once again at the Israelites, at Joshua, at the team, at all that's going on there, Lord, that the good examples we would follow, the bad examples we would stay away from. And God, I thank you so much that, Lord, your word is full of humanity, that it's not just all cleaned up and all perfect, and we look at things that we can't relate to, Lord, but we see these things, we look at these people, we see what they go through, and Lord, it's sometimes a direct reflection of our own lives. And God, then that gives us hope and gives us the ability to put trust in you. So I do pray, as we look at this section again, kind of a downtime, that it would speak to us. And Lord, it would cause us maybe to make some decisions we need to make tonight. Lord, as we look forward to hearing from you and to growing in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we've been watching, once again, we've seen some victories. We've seen where Israel had the great victory over Jericho, and we've seen where they had the victory over Ai. Now we're going to see kind of another downer time. And it's interesting, some of the commentaries that I look at try and liken, you know, all of this to our lives too much. You see, Jericho represents the world, Ai represents the flesh, and the Gibeonite episode represents the devil, the things that we war against. That could be. I'm not so sure that's what God had in mind as he's recording this. I believe what he has in mind as he's recording this is, you guys would be really wise to do what I say. And when you don't do what God says, guess what? Number one, there's consequences. Number two, you're not going to like the consequences. Number three, you're going to have the consequences. And we get all uptight and we think, how come this is happening in my life? Well, because we chose not to obey God. And yes, God forgives us. There's no doubt about that. But there's consequences. And we make some decisions, I believe, way too flippantly, way too quickly, and most importantly, based on sight, not faith. And so as we look at the Gibeonites and what happens here, we're going to see that played out for us directly in the lives of Israel, which once again, my prayer is, we would read this and go, oh, I so don't want to be those people, or I don't want to be like that. I'm going to decide to really follow God, stay close to God, and listen to God. So Joshua and the team, and I want to just kind of remind us, because it's been a whole week and we've done a lot since then in our lives. I want to remind us, you had the great victory, then they set up some stones, and then if you remember, they renewed the covenant. Remember, they got on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal and went back and forth and talked about things, and that should draw you closer to God. Here's the problem, though, with sometimes when we do those things, is they cause us to be religious and do a religious exercise rather than spiritual, and doing a spiritual exercise that strengthens us. So listen, they went through all of that, and it should have been really, really good for them. I'm kind of thinking not, just by, because I've read all of chapter 9, and I'm thinking not because of what they do. And notice the first word says end. Now some of you are going, so what? Well, do you remember conjunctions. Remember conjunction, junction, when you were, you know, watching it on Sesame Street or whatever? I never watched Sesame Street. Well, I did with Leah, but I didn't watch it for educational purposes. For me. You can tell, can't you? I watched it for parental duty. But here's the thing. He just talked about they've renewed everything. They were before God, and here's what's going on in another part of the world, or really in a place not far away, but what's going on is affecting others around them. So they're having this time, and kind of at the same time, it says it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the lowland, and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. So here's what happened. You have all those people, and we've talked about all the Ites before, and the Ites are all over the land. All the Ites got together, and here's what they said. We're going to combine our forces, and we're going to come against Israel. We figured out. Here's the thing. They got news of what's going on, and it made them harder. It's always interesting to me what the Word of God does to people's lives. You see, the Word of God for some of us makes us soft and draws us in. For others, well, they get harder. The illustration I like to use, because I'm a potter, the same sun that bakes the clay and makes it hard, well, that same sun melts the butter and makes it soft. Well, the same with the Word of God. These guys have gotten harder, and here's what they're doing. They're figuring out, we're going to beat Israel. We're not going to let them take our land. We're going to gather together rather than getting knocked off like Jericho and knocked off like Ai. We're all going to come together, and we're going to win this battle. They are deciding, check this out, they're going to come against God. Here's something I've learned by studying my Bible and world history. Coming against God's never a good idea. Never. Never. I don't even care. I don't care who you are. I don't care what happens. I don't care whether you believe in Him or not. Coming against Him is a no-win situation. So they've gotten together and they're saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get one accord and we're going to come together. Verse 3, but there's another one of those conjunctions, right? But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. Now, before we go on, listen, they're part of the Ites. They're part of the Hittites. Okay? They live in Gibeon, a town that becomes rather famous in Israel. They live in Gibeon. They're part of the Ites. This coalition have come together, and here's what they've decided. We are going to beat these Jews. Here's what the people in Gibeon said. Ain't no way. And so that word that made some hard made these guys soft. Now, I'm not saying these guys are going to do a good thing, but it made them soft. Here's what they realized. There's no way we can win. We are not going to win. And so sometimes when we get scared, we do some things that are not always wise, right? Come on, we all have done some pretty dumb things in fear. These guys are afraid. They're afraid for their lives. They're afraid for their town. And here's what they're thinking. We've got to save our lives. We've got to save our town. They sound a lot like Rahab, don't they? Wow. Remember Rahab? She took a huge risk. Rahab risked everything for the God of Israel and for Israel. And she had that little bit of revelation. Here's these guys. They get some revelation. They're going against. Now think about, you go against all the Ites. There's a lot of Ites there. And they're part of the Hittites. They're not all of the Hittites, but they're part of the Hittites. Now here's what they're saying. You guys go ahead. We're not going to do that. You know what repercussions they're going to have? Read chapter 10. Not while I'm talking. I read ahead again. There's heavy-duty repercussions for these guys. But they make a decision. And they're saying, we are not going to fight against God. Oh, that was really loud. Which way? Everybody's pointing like this. What's wrong with you guys? Why do you do that? Somebody's buying coffee, so I'm not sure who that is. So if you guys can figure it out, get your coffee. So listen, it's going to cause them some severe consequences. Now they're going to do something I think, in my opinion, is not right. They're going to deceive and they're going to lie. Sometimes fear causes us to do that, doesn't it? We're so afraid, we take that route. Now, listen carefully. I'm not saying, you know, if you do that, that all of a sudden you're eliminated from the family of God and he wants nothing to do with it. I'm just saying it's not right. And here's what I know. If you go down those roads, there's going to be consequences. Once again, I've read ahead, not just chapter 10. I've read ahead into the life of Saul. I've read ahead into the life of Nehemiah and other things. There was some long-term consequences for the decision they made here. So if you decide to go down that road, you need to understand there's consequences. And you're often going to have to go through those consequences. So look what they do. They get afraid and they do this thing. In verse 3, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily. Craftily is another word for deceitfully. And went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, and they said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country, now therefore make a covenant with us. Now that had some thought going into it, didn't it? That wasn't something that you just like, you know, sometimes, you know, we get caught in something and we just spit out a lie, and it usually traps us. This was well thought out. This isn't like they got up in the morning and went, whoa, we're kind of scared, let's do this thing. It's like, those guys are going to kill us. And here's an interesting thing. They know, check this out, they know what God had said to Moses about all the inhabitants of the land. What did God tell Moses? When you go in and you take the land, you're to totally wipe out everybody. Kill everybody. And I know some of us have issues with that, and again, I'm telling you, just take it up with God, you know, and I'm just saying what the Word of God says. They know that God said that. Now, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Here's the crazy thing. They put a lot of faith in what revelation they have. Here's the revelation they have. These guys have beat up everybody they've come in contact with. Yeah, they had one little hiccup, but it got taken care of right away. And their God told them to annihilate us, so therefore, how do we keep from getting annihilated? That's what they're thinking. So, because they're a pagan nation, because of who they are, they come up with this plan. I know, let's deceive them. And they come up with it's a pretty good plan, isn't it? I read this and I go, it's pretty good. You know, you did everything, you played the parts right, you got everything together, you got the old sacks on the donkeys, you got the, you know, old moldy bread. I'm thinking, number one, who saves old moldy bread? But, you know, that's just where I go. But listen, they get all this stuff together and they show up to Joshua, you know, and I'm sure they threw dust on him and, oh, we've been traveling for months and here we are, we're here to make a treaty, we're from a far away land. And these guys are good. Listen, they're good. Check this out. Then the men of Israel, verse 7, said to the Hittites, I'm sorry, to the Hivites, he says, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? Now listen, I think that's a good thing, don't you? I think they're doing a good thing here. Here's what Israel does. We're not so sure that you're from far away. Maybe you dwell close. And I'm thinking, oh yes. Do you ever read your Bible in hope? And I know some of you are going, the Bible's not going to change, Pat. I know that intellectually. I know that theologically. But emotionally, man, sometimes I get involved and I go, yes, yes, you guys got him. You got him, yes. And they go, how do we know you're not from here? We're not sure you're from here, you know. And so they said to them in verse 9, you know, where do you come from? We come from a very far country. Your servants have come because the name of the Lord God, For we have heard his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Now, do you notice something glaring in this? What do they really know? They also know what God did in Jericho. They know what God did in Ai. And what do they conveniently not put in their story? They don't put current events. Why? Because they're from far, far away. They're pretty smart people. I mean, these guys got a good deception going on. They, again, well thought out. And not something just on the spur of the moment. Something well thought out. They dressed the part. Now they're acting the part. And now they're making sure. We're not going to say, and we heard what you did in Jericho and Ai. Why? Because you would have been on the road. You wouldn't have heard it. So they're very careful of what they tell them. And they go, this is what's going on. Now that's kind of a scary thing, isn't it? People coming in. You see, we've got the bunch up here, all the ites, and they've made a coalition to come against Israel. That's like a roaring lion coming after you. Now you got the Gibeonites. That's kind of like a snake slithering in, isn't it? Warren Wiersbe said it this way: it's much easier for us to identify the lion when he's roaring than to detect the serpent when he's slithering into our lives. And here they come. And Israel's like eating us up. So they lay that out in verse 10 and all that he did to the, I'm sorry, verse 11. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot from our, or we took hot for our provision from the houses on the day we departed to come to you, but now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins, which we filled, were new, and see, they are torn. And these, our garments and our sandals, we have become old because of the very long journey. So, a lot of stuff's going on, isn't it? And we have this thing going down, and they got to lie down. They've got it figured out. And they're letting Joshua and them know, and they're kind of giving them evidence. And evidence is good. But shouldn't we be careful? Shouldn't we watch out? I think, again, especially when you're in the midst of a battle, and you're in the midst of maybe even a great victory, you need to be aware, and you need to be watching. And you need to be careful. And I'm watching these guys, and all of this is laid out very, very well orchestrated, very, very well planned. And they're saying, look at all of this. Look and see what's in front of you. Here's the evidence. Now, here's what I think. If the Gibeonites could think this up, it wasn't like that deep of a mystery to think about this. And maybe you could have asked, exactly where are you from? I notice they never ask that question. They go, where are you from? And they go, from far, far away. Why don't they go, well, where's far, far away? Is it in Never Never Land? Can you give us a longitude and latitude? Can you give us a country? Could you give us a little? Don't you find it interesting that Israel doesn't even ask that? That they don't ask? I mean, usually when you meet somebody from far, far away, don't you usually say, but where, if they tell you, I'm from far, far away, don't you usually go, where's far, far away? Exactly where are you from? You're from Europe? You're from Africa? Are you from down under? Are you from one of those places? Here's, they're going, okay, you're from far, far away, okay. Wow. Talk about walking by sight. And Israel, listen, the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel from the Lord. Oh, verse 14. Why? Why do you do that? We have evidence, right? You have evidence. Come on. They showed us the stuff. It's good stuff. And here's what I've heard some people say. Well, you know, We have a brain. We can think through things. Really? How's that worked for you for however many years you didn't walk with the Lord? You know what? I had a brain before I got saved. I got a brain after I got saved. I get that. But my brain before I got saved got me in a lot of trouble. And I know most of you didn't. You guys were perfect. Listen, think about it. What isn't a proverb? This is one proverb everybody memorizes, right? 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on evidence. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct you to the truth. He will direct your paths. I'm thinking, Israel, now I know, listen, I get it. Proverbs hadn't been written yet, so they didn't have that to go by. But why would they this close? Remember what happened the last time they didn't pray? Remember what happened the last time they didn't ask? They got some guys killed, 36 I think it was, were slaughtered. They lost the battle. Things weren't real good. And they could have saved all that. And they could have done it. And they could have, you know, found out about Achan way before if they would have just prayed. And you know what? If we would just pray. Stop and pray. Oh, but I have evidence. Oh, but I can think for myself. Oh, I can figure things out. I'm sure you can. But stop and pray. Stop and ask the Lord. Are these really old wineskins? Did these people really come from a far distance? Lord, we have all of this evidence, and, you know, I kind of want to go with it, and I kind of want to trust them, but where are these people really from? They did not ask the Lord. Does that, you know, I underline that in my Bible so that I wouldn't be someone who does not ask the Lord. Seek the Lord in things. You know, and some people have told me, you know, because I talk to the Lord about a lot of things, and, you know, I'm not talking about just walking around like this, you know, a little halo going, and you're like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about talking to Him. Lord, is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? I told someone one time, and sometimes I ask the Lord, should I put on these socks or these socks? People go, that's stupid. Just make a decision. What's wrong with including Him? Don't you think God cares? He loves us. Hey, your spouse you love, especially you women, you don't let them walk out the house looking like a goon. Most of you buy their clothes for them. Most of you lay their clothes out for them. You dress them. You care for them. Why? Because you want them to look nice. Don't you think God wants us to look nice? Sure, He cares. And here's the thing I find. If you include Him in those parts of your life, the big parts of your life are a no-brainer. Because you've already included Him in those areas of your life. You're already talking to Him. You're already asking Him. You're already involved. So here's Israel. They just got through doing, reading the Word, getting into the Word, shouting across mountains, doing this whole thing, having a sacrifice, having burnt offerings, having fellowship offerings. Remember what those were? It's coming together with Jesus. It's having a good time with Him. They had all of that. And then these guys show up and they go, well, we don't need to pray. Man, their stuff's old. We'll just roll with it. Ay, 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 ay. Why do you do that? So, verse 15, so Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So here's the thing, they had some kind of big deal going on, and everybody said yes. Everybody. Joshua, the elders, leaders, they're all going, this is a good idea. Now, why would you want to do that anyway? Number one, why would you want to do that anyway? If they're from far, far away, why don't you tell them, go far, far away? Go back to far, far away, wherever that is. Go away, shoo, because we're going to kill a whole bunch of people right now. And you don't want to get caught in the middle. You don't want to be part of this, so scoot on out of here and go back to far, far away. When we get to you, we'll make a deal with you. They all made a deal. And it's kind of like, you know, I read verse 14, I read verse 15, and I kind of sink in my heart. I go, I can't believe that. And then here's what I know. Oh, I do that so easy. You see, once again, it's easy to identify the enemy when he's screaming at us, isn't it? It's easy to identify him when it's so wrong and so blatant in our face and so heavy duty. And I think in this generation more than ever, it's really hard to identify the enemy when he comes slithering in And it's hard to figure out who's who. And it's hard to catch him and understand that. So what do we do? Oh, I don't think we're that much different than verse 15. Oh, we may not make a covenant, but we let that come into our lives. Now we got this thing in our lives. And sometimes, as I said, the consequences can be far, far reaching. We let it in. And listen, I'm not talking about, you, quote, going off the deep end and losing yourself. I'm talking about getting a thing in your life that is going to cause you pain, heartache, turmoil, all because you don't want to stop and pray. All because you can think for yourself. All because I can figure this out. I've got evidence in front of me. So they make the deal. Then verse 16, and it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made the covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Ay, 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 ay. Now, how come it happened that fast? I mean, I read this and I think, why was it just what, in 3 days? Why didn't whatever they heard, whoever they heard it from, why did they come like 3 days earlier? Why was it that quick or that late? That's totally the enemy, huh? Or here's what could have happened. Gibeon was about 27 miles from Gilgal, give or take. And that's a couple days' journey, right? Maybe a day and a half there, a day and a half back. So maybe they sent spies and they went and they go, dude, these are the Gibeonites. They live like right around the corner from us. As a matter of fact, they're really close to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, King David is going to put the ark there for a while when he conquers the country. As a matter of fact, these guys are going to get so integrated into Israel that Nehemiah cares about them. Wow. They're right there. Neighbors, right next door. We should be aware of things, huh? And listen, be careful who you make covenants with. Listen carefully. In verse 15, the congregation, they swore to them. They made a covenant with them. They made an agreement with them. Now they find out, whoa, those guys are our neighbors. So then what do? Don't read on. What do? These guys deceived you. They blatantly lied to you. You made a covenant with them. Now you find out all of the truth within 3 days of the covenant. That's pretty close, right? Arizona, don't we have some kind of law like a 72-hour law or something? What do? Christian, you've given your word. You've made an agreement. What do? But they lied. If they lied, surely that nullifies everything, right? And I'd have just chopped their stinking heads off. That's what I ought to do. This is some of us would think, right? What do you do in that situation? Listen, this is where I think it gets really good for Israel. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Kephira, Beroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. So they went to these four cities. And the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation complained against the rulers. So here's what happens. They travel there. They find this area of Gibeon, which included some other cities. And here's what they said. We're going to kill them. And the rulers said, you can't kill them. Why can't we kill them? They're right here. They're part of the group we're supposed to do away with. God told us to annihilate them. You can't kill them because we gave them our word. But they lied to us. They deceived us. Surely, in the midst of war, we could do that and be okay, right? Hey, this is a huge dilemma. I don't know. Maybe you guys read it and go, it's not. That's a huge dilemma. What do you do? What do you do at that point? How do you handle it at that point? You've given them your word. You're a leader of Israel. You've said, we will take care of you. Now you find out they lied to you. They're right there. All the congregation's going, we want to kill them. Leaders of Israel are saying, you can't kill them. We gave them our word. Wow. You see, that speaks a lot about Joshua and the elders and the leaders and integrity. We gave them our word. They lied. That's their problem. They're going to have to sort that out. They're going to have to figure that out. And did your dad ever tell you, Pat? Did he ever talk to you and say, Pat, two wrongs don't make a right? Yeah, my dad told me that all the time. Because I figure, hey, if you make one wrong, you do another wrong, maybe it'll be right. He told me that never works. Doesn't work out. So listen, Joshua and the leaders are going, you can't kill them. We gave them our word. We made a covenant with them. This covenant's going to be costly for everybody. It's going to be tough on everybody. But they made a covenant. Listen, and sometimes I think as believers, we get ourselves messed up with the Gibeonites. You know what I'm talking about? And we make deals and then we want out of them. Sometimes as a Christian we marry an unbeliever. And we're miserable and there's consequences and it's horrible for us. And I get that. But you made a covenant. You don't walk out on covenants. You don't do that. Hey, I understand what generation we're in, but I'm talking about reality and I'm talking about biblically. You don't walk out on your word. He gave them their word. They protected them. And they said, you can't do this. And so the congregation are telling the rulers, you're a bunch of terrible rulers. Verse 19, then all the rulers said to the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. So they have a backup plan. Listen, we swore to them. We told them we're not going to do them. And I think the Gibeonites are in these cities going, you know, are they going to kill us? What's going to happen? They're going, no, we can't do that because we swore an oath to them. And then they says, here's what we're going to do to them. In verse 20, we will do to them, we will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore them. You see, they understood something. Man, if you give your word and you say that, if you go back on your word, that's just as bad as all the deceitfulness that happened to you. It's just as bad. It's no different. Because bottom line, when you gave them your word, you go back on your word. Now you've lied to them. They go, we're not going to do that. We're not going to suffer the wrath of God. Here's what we did. We did this. We need to live with it. And so here's what they say in verse 21. And the ruler said to them, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation as the rulers had promised them. So here's what they're saying. You guys can live and you can stay here. But guess what? You're going to be our slaves. We're going to enslave you. You're going to cut our wood, you're going to haul our water. I think the Gibeonites are thinking, better to be a live slave than a dead duck, I guess. Right? Better to be a live slave than dead. I mean, being a slave ain't great, but it's better than the alternative that they had. So they go, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make you those things. So listen, they lay that out. Then Joshua, verse 22, called for them and he spoke to them saying, why have you deceived us, saying we are from a very far country when you dwell near us? Now listen, Joshua's going, what's up, man? Why'd you lie to us? What'd you do this for? Do you think it could be different for the Gibeonites? Do you think if they wouldn't have been deceitful, they wouldn't have lied, they wouldn't have done that, and they would have gone and tried to make a treaty, you think it would have been different? You know, it's a question we don't know because they didn't. Here's what I know what Moses told them to do. So I get why the Gibeonites did what they did. And now Joshua is saying, why'd you lie to us? Didn't you hate it when your parents ever caught you in a lie? I was always horrible at lying. Horrible, man. I would try to lie to especially my mom. And here's what my mom would do. She'd sit me down. And she'd sit close to me and she'd go, you look me in the eyes and say that. And I'd go, I'm lying, Mom. I'm lying through my teeth. And I just am not going to go through this. That ain't going to happen. She goes, you can never do that. You can't lie to me. My mom would always, you cannot do that. And so Joshua said, why'd you lie to us? And I remember telling my parents, I lied to you because I'm stupid. Right? Why did I lie? You know you're going to get caught. Why did you lie to us? And listen what they say, though. I do like this. He says, you know, that why did you do that? Verse 23, he's telling them, now therefore you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my... Oh, now it's changing a little bit. For the house of my God. Now here's an interesting twist of events. They're to be woodcutters and water carriers for all of Israel, but particularly for the house of God. Now here's an interesting thing when you think about that. These guys, a pagan nation who is doomed to die, end up serving as close to the tabernacle as any Israelite that serves there. That's kind of intriguing, isn't it, that God would do that? And as I said, listen, you can read in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, Saul had killed a bunch of Gibeonites. God brought a plague on Israel for Saul doing that, and David had to go stop it and make it up to the Gibeonites. And then in Nehemiah, as I said, in Nehemiah 3 and Nehemiah 7, they're included with the people of God. So it's kind of interesting. And then people will go, see, it all worked out in the end, so that means it was all okay. No, it doesn't mean it was all okay. It means God is bigger than our sins. That's what it means. And we need to understand that. Doesn't mean it's okay. Because some people do that. Well, it worked out, so maybe I can deceive some people and get to live in the house of God. Or maybe I can do this and it'll be okay. Number one, I don't think you want to roll the dice with God. Number two, God never blesses people for what they do. He blesses them for their faith. These guys had faith in God, and he proved it. So he goes, now, it is interesting, though, they move him close to the house of God. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Isn't that so God? Isn't that just like our God? So he gets them close to the house of God. He says, here's what you're going to do. So they answered Joshua in verse 24. They answered Joshua, and they said, because your servants were clearly told. Now I underline that in my Bible. Because we were clearly told. Who told them? I've always wondered that. I, again, want to, you know, go back in Bible times and see what happened. They were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. Now, again, where did you come from? Why? Or he says, no, not where'd you come from, but why did you lie to us? Now you're going to be slaves. And here's what they say. We knew and we believed God that we were dead. Wow. Wow, the Word of God really penetrated their souls, didn't it? Really went deep with these guys. And once again, they didn't have revelation. They didn't have years of walking with God. They were clearly told, God is going to come in and do this. And here's what they did. They said, we believe that's going to happen. That's faith. Oh, how they got out of it is not the greatest thing in the world. Once again, but here's what they said. We'd rather be your slaves than dead. And here's what we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. That if we didn't do that, we were going to die. Now again, I believe it could have been worked another way. Because I believe God is big. But nonetheless, do you get these guys? And I think that's why it's a good comparison with them and Rahab. Them and Rahab both believe God. These are pagan people far, far away from God. And the Word of God hits them and changes them and softens their hearts. Hey, it hardened all the ites, right? All the ites said, we're going to kill you, we're going to come back, and we're going to fight. These guys go, wow. Do you remember when the Word of God penetrated your heart? Remember when it broke through all of that? I think of my own life, and you know, I was cruising along, and I was kind of a, you know, I was kind of a happy guy. My life was going well. I don't have one of those. I got down and out, and you know, the bottom fell out of my life and stuff. As a matter of fact, I just built a new studio. I was starting my new studio. I had a new studio. I had a new area to sell from. The studio downstairs, a showroom upstairs. Things were going good. Things were expanding and going good. And then God intervened in my life. I remember one time having a conversation with God at my Potter's Wheel. Gaynell had gotten saved and was sharing with me a little bit, and I so didn't want to get saved. The last thing I ever wanted to do was get saved. And I was pretty committed to that. just being honest. And I remember having a conversation with God about what a good guy I was. Did any of you ever have that conversation? I know you might have told other people, but you ever have that conversation with God? I was telling him, God, I'm good. I'm good to my wife. I'm good to my family. I'm taking care of them. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. You know? And he goes, okay. He goes, you think you're good? No, not audibly. I don't want you guys to think I'm like sitting there. Man, he started showing me stuff in my life. I still wasn't good. I was so far from good, it was pathetic. And it wasn't long after that that the Word of God penetrated my soul. And then you believe. You believe. In spite of everything you are, in spite of everything that's out, you believe. You put your faith in that. In spite of being a Gibeonite, in spite of, listen carefully, that what it's going to cost these Gibeonites, not just becoming a slave. Read the next chapter. They get attacked by all the ites. All the ites come against the Gibeonites. And they want to destroy them because they're traitors. Imagine in that world, instantly you become a traitor. You are risking everything to, number one, become a slave. Number two, to become a traitor to everybody around you. And what's kind of cool is they never reneged. Like I said, you read them about them in Samuel. You read about them 400 years later in Nehemiah and stuff. These guys were committed. Hey, if anything, they were all in when they went for this. When they were getting those old nasty sacks and they were putting on those old funky clothes and they were digging up the old moldy bread. Here's the thing. They were committed. 100%. And it did cost them. They became slaves. And so here's what they say. We heard about God and we believed it. And in verse 25, I love this. And now here we are in your hands. Do with us what seems good and right to you to do. Woo, that's some faith. Here's what they're telling Josh. Here we are. I mean, hey, they know they're not going to be able to fight them. They know they deceived them. They know everything went south at this point. You got an entire, you know, army surrounding you. You have the general there asking you, why did you deceive us? We deceived you because we heard about your God. And here's what we know, man. We would be dead if we didn't deceive you. So here we are. Kind of comes to a good place now. Here we are. Our hands are in your, or our lives are in your hands. Do whatever you want. Wow. That's kind of cool, isn't it? So Joshua chopped all their heads off. Oh, I was just seeing if you guys were still awake. Oh, here we are. We let it all out. Here we are. So he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel so that they did not kill them. Don't you know there was like, as Joshua, I mean, I'm thinking, and maybe I'm over-exaggerating it, but I'm thinking there were some people with some swords. You know, like in today's vernacular, with some good automatic weapons, some rocket launchers, all of those things sitting there poised and ready. We're going to kill these people. And Joshua says, back off, put them down, unload, stand down. Man, don't you know the Gibeonites went, oh, I can carry water for 100 years, man, if I don't have to die today. And they carried water in the house of God. And then, oh, and then it says, listen, then it says, in that day, Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord. Check that out, for the altar of the Lord. That's kind of cool, huh? And in the place which he chose, even to this day. So listen, he had him do it. And here's the thing that I find interesting, is the ark ends up where? In Gibeon. These people didn't go very far. They didn't have to like go all over. Here they are. They're serving in the very place where they lived. And they're serving God. And they're serving Israel. Now, we might say, oh, I'm so glad it worked out. And so am I. I'm glad it worked out for everybody. And glad that happened. But do you understand the consequences? Number one, the consequences of Israel. They got some people that weren't supposed to be there. That could very easily lead them astray and mess them up. All because they didn't take time to pray. So they got consequences of these guys being in their lives for hundreds of years for hanging out. At any moment they could have chosen, and you're going, but they didn't, but they could have. And we need to understand there's those consequences that we have to live with, and they're not always, most of us can give a testimony, the consequences aren't always, oh, that worked out pretty nice. A lot of us have the consequences, that was ugly, and it's still ugly, and it's still there. So there's consequences, long-term consequences, for Israel's lack of prayer and lack of faith in the God who led them to that place, the God who delivered Ai into their hands, the God who delivered Jericho into their hands. Now there's some consequences. Oh, and there's also the consequences in the Gibeonites. If you use deception and trickery to get through some things, you're going to have temporary good results. But you're going to have long-term bad results. Do you understand? The good results, temporary, instantaneous, was we're not dead. The bad results, we're slaves. And I don't care how you try and dress that, they're still slaves. That's not a good thing. And so you and I need to learn, number one, we shouldn't use trickery and deception as Christians. And sometimes we do that. Why? Because we get afraid. And when we get afraid, we make bad decisions. So we need to go back to the thing, I believe, whether we're afraid or whether we're feeling really victorious or whether we're thinking we got a lot of evidence, we need to be men and women of prayer. And I believe it's important. Listen, I believe it's important to pray in the morning. I know all of us aren't early risers. Notice I didn't say early in the morning. But I think it's important to pray in the morning. Make that connection with God in the morning for your life. How can you, at the end of the day, say, Lord, guide me today? That doesn't work out too well. I'm sorry. You can't get to the end of the day and ask Him to guide your day. You've already done it. And I think it's important. I mean, listen, even if it's an, I'm not, you know what? I'm not a person that you better do 1 hour. 1 hour warriors for Jesus. Yes. There's some people that say that. There's some people that say, if you don't pray an hour every day, you're some scrawny, weak Christian. And I'm thinking, do you sometimes not have a lot to tell God? Are you like me? If I prayed for a whole hour every day, sometimes it would be like, okay, Lord, I have a lot to say, but I'm doing my hour. I have 59 minutes to go. You don't have to be, you don't get legalistic, and don't even get legalistic about doing it in the morning. I think wisdom is, do it in the morning. Man, listen, even if you're running to your car, you can pray and run at the same time. God, I'm late, I'm going to my car, guide my day, amen. If you're praying in your car, don't close your eyes. But listen, we need to be seeking His wisdom. We need to be seeking His guidance. We need to get His mind and His heart on things. I believe after these guys came and even did the deception, I believe if they would have sought God, I think the consequences, at least for Israel, would have been different. Would have been a whole different thing going on. And I think if the Gibeonites would have fallen on their faces and said, we believe in this God, and they got together and they banded together, we believe every word He said, I think they could have come up with a better plan, like leave town or something. So Christian, there's consequences. Sometimes they're not as horrible as at other times. But you and I never know which way it's going to go, right? Hey, David had some pretty stinky consequences in his life. Yeah, the Bible even says he's a man after God's own heart. But I read the book, not just watched the movie. Notice I stayed away from that tonight. And I know that David had horrible consequences that he had to live with. So don't count on, oh, if I do this, God's going to bless me anyway. That's not a place you want to go. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you tonight for this section of Scripture that once again, Lord, gives us that just that detail of kind of warts and all, Lord. We can see as we read through this that Israel wasn't always perfect. They weren't always right on. They didn't always do the right thing or carry themselves in the right way. And God, I pray that that would give us courage in the midst of the things we've messed up. I pray it would never be an excuse for doing the wrong thing. And Lord, I think of the Gibeonites, and it is a mystery. It's kind of a strange story. It's kind of strange outcome of this whole situation. And I'm glad, God, that sometimes the things you do are beyond our figuring out. Because that means you're so much greater than we are and so much bigger than we are. But I do pray, Lord, we'd walk away from here tonight realizing probably the most important thing is we need to be men and women of prayer. We need to be men and women who are seeking your guidance in our life. And even at times, Lord, I believe men and women who will reject the evidence in light of your revelation, in light of what you're showing us. And God, that we would walk hand in hand with you and we would not lean on our own understanding. We'd not try and figure it out ourselves. But God, we would learn to trust you and learn to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.